Say what?
Hello and welcome back. It's time for Say What, where we hear from those connected to the industry about what's going on in our world of electrical apprenticeship. And that includes the topics that you're suggesting to us. So please keep those coming. I'm your host, Cindy Sandifer. So back at the 2023 EWMC conference in Denver, I met Big John. Wow. That's about all I can say is wow. His passion, he was straightforward and he was committed on a level that you just don't always see to what he does. And I knew that once again, as I tend to do in this podcast, I knew that I needed to spend more time with him to hear what he's doing. And I knew that hearing from him would help you. And so of course, Big John said yes, that he would be glad to be a part of our podcast, spreading the word about how he's making changes in our industry. And so now I get to introduce you to Big John. So how did you hear about and become a part of the electrical construction industry?
I learned about it being in prison, while I was in prison. There was an actual person, his name is Everett Timms. He was the correctional institution's electrician. And he would use inmates as his labor. But in order to be on his crew, you had to be an inmate that was on your way to doing better things and not be part of the shenanigans like I was part of. I used to see this dude walk around the institution and I used to be like, man, who's that dude right there? Because the thing that made him stick out to me was that he was black. Mm. And I just didn't see that. Mm-hmm. And when I saw it, it just caught my eye. It was like a unicorn-like type situation. Like, man, what's this black dude that's talking like that and he's an electrician? In my brain, in my limited way of thinking back then, I thought electrician was only for white people and mafioso-like type people. I had no idea that a black guy could be an electrician. So that was an eye opener for me. And then I got myself into some trouble and I told the guy, I said, hey man, I'll forgive your debt if you can get me over in that maintenance shop so I can work with that guy right there. And he got me over there and the dude he saw something in me I didn't see in myself. Mm. And that's how I started.
I'm just sorry. I'm taking a minute to absorb that because I don't think when we met, we talked about that specifically. So that's just like, that is really powerful to me. So let's say somebody's listening and they're thinking, there's no way I can come into the electrical industry because of my past. Like, what do you say to that person?
What I say to them is that they're being limited in their thought process. They're building a wall of rejection without even trying. Mm. And that's what happened to me. And one of the things that I learned was my transformation in becoming a man, I had to understand that in order to be a man, I had to see a man. And Everett Timms was basically the first man that I saw that was doing something opposite of what I was doing and was being successful. Mm. And I wanted to be a part of that, but there were some things that I had to do. I had to change my language. I had to start tucking in my shirt, had to show up every day, had to read certain books. Mm. And it was just one of those type of things right there. And it was a long process because up until I was approximately 26 years old, I was carrying on and functioning as a boy. Mm. And I didn't even know what manhood, I thought what I was doing was manhood, but really I was being a boy doing the things that I was doing and ended me up in prison. And I had to learn these things.
Yeah. And you've mentioned now, I think, you know, this idea of seeing, right? Like you had to see, as you pointed, like a black man doing this work, to see someone being a man. And that's like, that's a huge thing that if we can't see it, we don't know we can be it. Right.
It's the greatest thing. Most people that grow up, almost everybody I know, I don't know no one who became successful and there wasn't somebody they wanted to be like. Or was it somebody that they looked at and was like, man, how did they do it? And I don't know nobody who just became successful through their own wit and skill. I don't know nobody like that. Most people, either be their parents, best friends, or somebody they might have came across that gave them an idea that sparked them. But it's always something that gets somebody's attention, be like, wait a minute, I can do that too. Right? It's like when a woman sees a woman in a trade. Wait a minute, you mean to tell me I can be a woman as an electrician too? Absolutely. But most people build walls of rejection, and they only build the wall of rejection is because they don't understand what's going on. And most people, from what they don't understand, they tend to just shy away from it, don't even try it because they don't even understand.
Right. Yeah. And can't even fathom being successful in it because, like you
Correct.
said, they didn't see it. Yeah.
And they'll sabotage their own success. They'll sabotage it because they just think that this is not for me. And you're like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. So tell us about second chances.
Second call?
Second call. I'm sorry. Yes.
It's okay. Well, the acronym is Second Chances at Loving Life.
That's where, okay.
Say you got right. There you go.
Okay.
Second Call is a community-based organization that deals with unresolved trauma, gang intervention, life skills, parenting skills, and things of that nature. And they help young men and women become healthier versions of themselves, mentally, spiritually, and things of that nature.
And you work with them, right? Like you've been, because you've been really
Yeah, I'm
instrumental.
yes, I'm the I'm the I do the facilitation on Thursday, and I get young men and women into careers because when I got with Second Call back in 2008, it was right before my mother passed away. When I met Skip and Kenny, and they were doing hardcore gang intervention, and I told them, I said, well, I was a gang member. I was hardcore. I say, but after you get these young men to put their flags down, then what? They didn't have an answer. I said, you know what the answer is? They got to get to work in the trades. I said, that's what helped me. I'll help you get individuals in the trades and we'll grow this thing together. Because right now you're getting dudes in jobs. And if you're going to give me a job, I might as well keep being a gang member. Being a job is not profitable. It doesn't work. That's why we got to get into careers. And but there's a process. And through Second Call, they had the foundation, and all I did was just grew it because they had the foundation, but they just didn't have the access to the trades. And I brought the trades to them. And from there it just grew. And now they got all kind of they got all kind of places with, parenting, anger management, all kind of stuff. But it all stemmed from the labor.
Yeah. And you're talking about changing lives because you're changing the lives of these individuals and then their friends or family, and then communities are changed. The word
Yes,
spreads.
because we're teaching them the life skills. Because most of the individuals I deal with, don't get me wrong, I deal with all walks of life, but when we're talking about inner cities, individuals coming out of prison, gang culture, there's a level of life skills that need to be taught. Like, for instance, me growing up, my father wasn't there to teach me how to be a man. That created some anger in me. Well, how do I deal with that anger? And then if I go to prison and I look at what's going on in my community, when I see Caucasians, I'm gonna think, well, either they law enforcement or they're here to do something bad towards us because that's how they treat us. Well, once I got understood what it meant to be a man and what it meant to be a black man, I haven't had no problems with other cultures because once I learned how to love myself, I can understand where someone else is coming from and not even be in that situation. Right? And talk with a level of strength versus being emotional, angry, and speaking just just nonsensical over things that really I had my own hands into. No one told me to sell drugs in my community. I chose to do that. So if I'm hanging out on the block and I got 50 people with me and I got pistols in my pocket and drugs and all that, what are the police supposed to do? They're supposed to come over and be like, man, what the are y'all doing out here? Not when they pull up and go, man, why y'all with me? Why y'all with me? What, dude, you're here selling drugs. That's illegal, right? So those type of things right there, I was kind of naive to, but now that I know I'm a taxpaying citizen and now I own the homes that were once considered menaces to society. And now in the community, those same individuals who were like me are now gainfully employed in careers and they're purchasing homes instead of doing home invasions. And they get a chance to be with their families and live a different life because they paid their debt to society. But the trades allow them a second chance. And with the life skills and teaching individuals how to conquer low self-esteem, how to conquer anger, angry behaviors, poor management skills of finances, understanding what it means to love thyself first. Those are the things that help an individual be just a better person. So then that way in the community, the murders go down, the robberies go down. Then instead of it being a neighborhood, it becomes a community. Because now I have a stake in the community. I'm an owner. I vote. I want my children to go to school just as safe as anybody else. And it's a mindset. And that's the teachings of what I do every Thursday on 35th Street Normandy, that we give these life skills to anybody because they don't have no gender, race, or economic background. Low self-esteem is low self-esteem. Anger management is anger management. Dysfunctional family is dysfunctional family. And we teach on it to help people become better people. And from that, I can get you into the trades because if you don't have the life skills, get out here in the trades. There are some people who still think that women should be at home barefoot and pregnant and that black folks should just be cleaning up the trash. There's some people out there that are still like that. Well, if we teach you the life skills, when you get out there, you won't run into that because you understand how to get to work on time. You'll understand how to work with a good attitude and always hustling to where people with that kind of mindset won't be able to say that about you. And those are the things that I teach and show because I'm in the field. So I know exactly what it is that we need to do.
Yeah. And you've, to me, like you've really gotten to the foundation of it. It's how we're seeing ourselves, how we're feeling about ourselves. And that, cause that's the lead to anger. It's the lead to bullying. It's why people can see someone as less than them. It's cause something about you don't like something about yourself that you're projecting onto other people. So when we can hit that, like you're saying, we can make such a difference in how we see ourselves, see each other. Yeah.
That's the key. And most people, they just don't get it. Most people like to just, I don't know, they watch the Idiot Box and think that that's going to help them be a better person. Be like, nah, that's not how that works. And most people, if you ask someone to stand up and you'll give them $1,000 if they can speak good about themselves without repeating themselves, without using filler words like, or you know what I'm saying, or using a Bible verse, it's hard to get someone to speak good about themselves for 60 seconds without stuttering or talking in a manner to where they're talking in a circle. That's tough because most people don't view themselves as this great person, but they'll talk about everybody else. And to me, I just disagree. It has to come from within. And we teach that. How do I love thyself first? Because if I love myself, everything around me will be better because I love myself.
Exactly. Now, did you go to DC? Am I right? You went and talked somewhere in DC, right? Am I right about that, or am I making that up?
Yeah. No, you're not making that up. I was I went to Congress to speak to Congress about reentry, and they had me come speak for reentry and what we were doing at Second Call. And I did go to DC to speak on that. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that to me, just, you know, thinking back, I'm one of those people, I really do get stuck in like the story, the history of a person. And to, you know, to have you sitting in, you were sitting in prison and then you're speaking before Congress. Like that's, those are two very different situations.
It blew me away because I knew that the transcripts of what I was saying, plus the video, will forever be in Congress.
Yeah.
On that particular day that I was there, it'll forever be there. And the things that I was saying were the same things I'm telling you about the work that's being done in the communities, and that I was teaching people how to fish. I wasn't giving people fish dinners. And they knew that the way I was speaking in a position of strength. I wasn't asking for a handout. I was just letting them know that this is what we do. And they asked me what my axe was. I told them, I say, well, I need a building. I need a building where we can do more of and do things like that. I say, but in my world, all those people I didn't got into careers, one day they'll have enough self-motivation to where everybody can pull their money together and we get our own building, because ownership is the key to everything. To own means you dictate the pace. But when somebody else does something, they you don't live in my community, so you don't know what the hell I need. So why? No. They can tell you what to do. I don't like that.
Right. I am like all of everything you said, and just this idea that that's history now. Like that's, that moment for you is in the pages of history. Like that's such a big thing. Like, and
because prior to that, I was invited to the White House and I got denied because of my record. But when another person got in there in Congress, they told me, don't worry about that. And I ended up, it was beautiful. It was beautiful.
It is. So, okay. People are listening, right? And we can't speak for sure of who the audience is, but if it's, say, JATCs, committees, you know, people that are determining who's getting into our apprenticeship programs, right? Or they're working in outreach. What advice do you give them for them to be more purposeful in recruiting and supporting returning citizens? Like, what do you say to them?
Well, I wouldn't give them no advice because I don't want to tell them what to do, but I'll tell them what I did.
There you go.
For me, speaking for myself, the best way to do anything is to get out my comfort zone. Mm. And if I want to learn about something, get out the comfort zone. And there's a word that's very powerful that helps with that. It's a word called empathy. Mm. And if I can understand to get out my comfort zone and go speak to someone that don't look like me, that don't live where I live, that don't speak like me and don't believe what I believe, how do I talk to that person? And then we get to the common goal of, we want to make you a better person and become a tradesperson. Well, that's what I do. I've been in communities where there were no Black people and got people into the trades because that's what I believe in. And I know that over here, you would probably be calling me a different name, and that's okay. I'll look past that, but let's have a conversation. And if you think that I'm that, prove it. If you think I'm that, let's have a conversation and prove that N-word that you think I am, let's have a conversation and see if you can prove it. Now, if you can't prove it, now you got to let me help you. And the very person who you saying is that word is the very person that's helping you get into the trade to save your life. That's what I do.
And that's it, right? It's this idea of listening, you know, and empathy. I love empathy. I love that it's this step beyond sympathy. This is, I want to feel what you're feeling. I want to understand you. I may not agree with you, but I'm taking time to see your perspective. Okay. Right, right.
Well, one of the things, what you said that was so poignant, Cindy, was listening. And I always like to say, I want a person to listen, but I want a person to listen with the intent to understand.
That's it.
And that's different from listening, because I can ask someone, do you know what time it is? And they'll say, yeah, it's 10:23. Well, that's not what I asked you. I asked you a yes or no question. And that means they weren't listening with the intent to understand. All I asked was, do you know what time it was? They're either going to say yes or no. I didn't ask you, what time is it?
Oh.
And that's where the listening with the intent to understand comes into play.
Okay, I hate that moment because I would have been the one to say 10:23. That now you've just changed my whole. Okay, I'm gonna do better. I'm gonna do better. Tell me.
Like they told me, when you know better, you do better.
And there it is, right? That almost sums all of this up. When you know better, do better. And you mentioned, you said something to me in one of our conversations about tradition. Do you remember, like, I don't know if it's something you would remember, what you said tradition is? Because I remember, if you don't.
Oh, yeah. Tradition is nothing more than peer pressure from the dead. That's it and that's all.
And I think, like, to me, that's part of this, right?
Yeah, when I hear tradition and all that, those are like code words. And when I hear those code words, I always tell a person, what does that mean? When you say tradition, what does that mean? Because I know, to me, it's just peer pressure from the dead.
Yeah.
Who's going to be innovative? Who's going to think outside the box? Who's going to do something that's different and right, even if it's not written down? I don't want to hear about tradition.
Yeah.
Talk to me about something new. What do you mean you can't do that? What does that mean?
Yeah.
Can't to me means you won't.
Mm.
And again, this goes back to listening with the intent to understand. And that's why it's very important that whenever I speak, I always start with the, well, for me, I'll speak in the first person, I. Then that way, no one can ever accuse me of telling them something. I'll be like, well, no, I didn't tell you that. I said, this is what I would do. I didn't tell you to do it. I said, this is what I would do. And either you learn from it or you don't.
Right. And that to me is, you know, it's a big deal, especially if you're in a situation, which we're not necessarily talking about, but if there's conflict or you're trying to resolve something, it's, I need to speak about me. I shouldn't say, well, you, no, it's I, you know, and I think that's true of, yeah.
It's conflict resolution. Yeah. And that's how most individuals, when they're speaking, a lot of times they just want to be heard, but they're not listening.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, if I'm engaging with someone, because there's times when I'm on the field and they just don't believe that a black guy can be a superintendent, and I'm talking to somebody and they get to talking, and then they'll go to the de facto, which is the stereotype. Oh, I don't want to argue with you. And then I'll just say, well, wait a minute. An argument is a verbal fight. I'm not fighting anything. We're having a debate, which is a conversation with consideration. Now, if you believe that I'm arguing with you, I'm going to stop the conversation now, and I'll talk to you either later on or whenever you feel like it's not an argument. But for me, I thought I was having a debate because I was telling you what I disagreed with and gave you the bullet points on why I disagreed with it. You're telling me to do something just because you think you can. And because I'm saying no, now I'm angry. Now I'm argumentative. And I say, I just disagree. And if you think we arguing, I'm gonna stop the conversation right now.
Mm.
And when I do that, everybody gets, you know.
It's a whole different, but I mean, really, like, you could do a whole class in communication, conflict, yeah, negotiation, all that stuff. Cause it's, I mean, that's huge. It's huge. Well, Big John, I appreciate
it. Oh, major.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I appreciate you so much. I appreciate the work you do, that what you've done with yourself. I think it's inspiring. And you really do let us know, like, look, kind of like you said, I did this. This is what I did. But you look at it like there's no reason someone else can't do it too. Well, Big John, I thank you. I thank you for your time. I thank you for what you do. And we'll probably chat again on here. I want to hear what's going on. I want to see all the differences that you all are making. But I do thank you so much for your time today.
Anytime.
All right. So there's a lot to take away. I hope that you were inspired by Big John. I hope that you kind of heard that you listened, because we talked about listening, and understood what he was saying. So we want to make sure that we're loving ourselves, taking care of ourselves, that we're open to communication, to understanding each other. Doesn't mean we have to agree. And this idea of getting out of our comfort zones, breaking out of that, breaking out of traditions that are holding us back. Big John, thank you. Thank you for your authenticity. It is refreshing. It truly is a breath of fresh air. And how you help others, how you give back is so inspiring. And where you've come from, what you're doing is just, again, it is, it makes me want to be better. And I hope other people felt the same. Big thanks to you, the listeners, for joining us. Remember, we want to hear from you. If there are topics to discuss, if you want to join us, send an email to saywatt at electricaltrainingalliance.org. We will drop a new episode in May. Until then, stay connected with us through newsletters, blog posts, social media, subscribe to the podcast, stay powered up, and we will see you next time.
Say what?